Welcome to this week's sermon from Heights Worship Center. We believe God has something for you today. We hope this message encourages and inspires you.
So today, or this week in your Bible engagement, we're going to be learning about sanctification. Sounds like a huge word. All right, and there's going to be a theme verse that you're going to be seeing in your Bible engagement projects for this week. And let's go ahead and read it. So it's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. It'll be up here on the screen. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to your Bibles. And it says this: "Some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." And so there's three things I want to point out in this verse. First, it says here, "But you are cleansed." Another word for that is redeemed. So let's say, we are redeemed.
We are redeemed.
And so being redeemed means being cleansed. And how were we cleansed? We were cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. When Jesus died on the cross for our sins, each drop of blood that he shed on that cross made us clean. That once we who were dirty in our sins, that once we were stuck in our sin, stuck in our shame, his blood made us clean. And so we are redeemed. And then another part in the verse, it says here, "You were made right with God." And another word to say that is justified. Say, we are justified.
We are justified.
That means we were made right with God. That means that we are brought closer to God because of Jesus, because of what he did on the cross. No longer were we separated from him anymore because of our sins, but now we are brought close to him. We are made right with God. And then lastly, it says here, "You were made holy." And the last point here is, we are sanctified. Say, we are sanctified.
We are sanctified.
So what that means is that we are made holy, meaning that we are becoming more and more like Jesus. And that is what sanctification is. Being sanctified means being like Christ. Okay? And so all of these things that we talked about, being redeemed, being justified, being sanctified, all of these things are possible solely because of what Jesus did on the cross. If he didn't die on the cross for our sins, we wouldn't be clean. We wouldn't be made right with God. And we wouldn't be made holy. But God, Jesus died on the cross so that we can be all of that. And that we can be made holy. So that we can be closer to God. And so all these things happen at the same time when we become saved. When you say, "Jesus, I want you to come into my life. I accept you as my Lord and Savior, and I want you to be Lord over my life." Instantly, right there, you're redeemed. You're justified. You're sanctified. But sanctification is a lifelong process. Though instantly you are made holy, God sees you as holy, God sees you as clean, God sees you as perfect, we're still human. We make mistakes. And you know, that's just life. And that's just the reality of the world that we live in today. You know, we're never going to be perfect. But God. Amen?
Amen?
So let's keep going. Let's read Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 23. And so it says this: "So the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is a sin living in me that does it. So I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. And so, like I said, we're not perfect. Because of what happened at the Garden of Eden, because of Adam and Eve, because they sinned, sin came into the world, and now we are all born as sinners. It says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so one thing I want to point out here is that, yes, we all struggle with sin. Whether you're Pastor Jaron or Pastor Adon, or you're the newest Christian ever, all of us are sinners. It doesn't matter where you are in your walk of life, we're all going through sanctification. And a lot of the times, people's sin becomes their identity. If you don't know my testimony, I used to struggle heavily with lust. I used to struggle heavily with pornography, and it was an issue that I struggled with for a really, really long time, many, many years. And in that sin, while I was living in it, I would just to myself, I always told myself, like, will I ever get out of this? Will I ever be set free? And I'm always asking, like, God, please help me. And despite the difficulties, and even though, you know, I'd have seized like little moments to where I'm good, then I go back to it. I ended up in, when I reached like rock bottom of where I was in that place, I allowed the sin to become my identity. I began telling myself that, you know what? You're never going to get out of this. You know what? Maybe you're not clean, and maybe you never will be. But that right there is a lie. That right there is not of God. And God wants to tell you that you are clean. You're not who you used to be. And here in what we just read, Paul is just outlining that there is something in you that causes you to sin. And it's not something that you should beat yourself up over. Because there's God. Amen. So let's keep going. And this right here, I would say it's my life verse. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And it says this. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has become. So your sin, when you believe in Jesus, you instantly, your old life is dead. Your sin, your struggle, your addiction is dead. And he raises you back up as a new person, clean. You are forgiven. You're purified. And so that right there is your identity. It's not your sin. It's not your addiction. It's not your depression. It's not your anxiety. It's not your fear. Your identity is Jesus. That is who you are. And being sanctified and living out sanctification, first, it takes humility. It takes a full realization and being real with yourself and being real with God. When I was going through what I was going through back then, I really had this moment with God right before I truly chose freedom. And I said, God, I don't want to live like this anymore. But you know what? I was scared because I didn't know what freedom looked like. And, you know, I had to wrestle so much with my own thoughts. I had to wrestle so much with the lies that the enemy has told me throughout the years. But I had to humble myself. And you know what? Sometimes when you're going through life, if you're going through struggles, maybe you're like me, you're suffering from addiction with lust and pornography, or if it's, for example, someone who's constantly drinking heavily or doing drugs, you gotta humble yourself. And you gotta be real with yourself and between you and God and say, God, what do I need to do? And for me, God told me, you need to let your guard down. And that's truly what being humble is. It's softening your heart, letting your guard down, and just allowing God to just work in you. And it really takes denying yourself to truly become more and more like Christ. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus, he's speaking, and it says this. Then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. And so I love the songs that we were singing earlier when we were talking about surrender. And humbling yourself before Christ and living out sanctification takes self-denial. It takes saying, God, I don't want anymore what I want. I want what you want. And it takes that surrender. It takes laying down your cross. It says here, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. And that's the culture here in America. I want it my way. I want it the way I want it to be done. But actually, God says, you need to give up your own way. You need to give up what you want. And you can still have your own desires, obviously. You can tell God what you want. But make sure that it aligns with what God wants for your life. And being sanctified, living out sanctification, being more like Jesus, it's a daily choice. Because the enemy is here to steal, kill, and destroy your life. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the enemy wants to do everything that he can to take you away from Jesus. And so it really is, it's a daily choice and it's a daily sacrifice to say, God, I give up my own way and I ask you, Holy Spirit, to have your way in me. And living for God is not easy. It really is not. being more and more like Christ takes lots and lots of discipline. It really requires you to give up yourself. Because Jesus, when he was here on earth, he was the true example of living selflessly. He didn't want what he wanted. He came here with a mission, and that was to purposefully fulfill the will of the Father. And so being sanctified means the same way for us. It's saying, God, not my will, but your will be done. And let's keep reading. In Romans chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law. But because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. And so the answer is clear. And we might ask ourselves, who is the one that can save me from my sin? Who is the one that can free me from these thoughts? Who is the one that can free me from these actions? The answer is in Jesus. It is only Jesus, and it is only through the Holy Spirit that we can be free from our sin. And without Jesus, we are a slave to our sin, meaning we are going to be consumed by our sinful thoughts. We are going to be consumed by our sinful actions. But it is only through Jesus. It is only through the Holy Spirit. And in Galatians 5:25, it says this: since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every step of our lives. And so, really, it is your walk, daily walk. It is your relationship with God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit that will help you to become more and more like Jesus. He has given us the Holy Spirit as a gift. The Holy Spirit is, he's within us. And it says in Hebrews that he's our helper. And he will be with us step by step every way. But the question that you need to ask yourself is, am I letting the Holy Spirit work in me? Because when you accept Jesus as your Savior, when you are a child of God, you already have the Holy Spirit. Right then and there, the Holy Spirit is in you. But are you going to allow him to work in you? And you know what? The things that, the sin that we struggle with in life, a lot of the times stems from something that maybe happened to you when you were a child. Maybe it's something that happened to you when you were younger, or something super traumatic happened to you. And as a result, that opened the gateway for sin in your life. And you know what? Being free from sin and being more and more like Christ requires you to ask God and ask the Holy Spirit to heal every single part of your brokenness. Not just one thing. It's not just the action that needs healing. Each sin has a root. And you need to ask yourself and ask God to reveal it, what that is. What, God, what is the root cause of my sin? Why do I act this way? Why does this certain thing trigger me? And there truly is freedom in that when you ask the Holy Spirit to just work in you. There truly is freedom in that. And I know it really does. It sounds scary. It really is. I would say it's a dangerous prayer to ask, because when you truly live surrendered to Jesus and truly live surrendered to the Holy Spirit and you allow him to, he will work in you. But I promise you, it is so worth it. And in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says this: "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." And so we talked about surrender. And it says here to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And your surrender is your sacrifice. And your sacrifice is your worship. And so choosing daily to surrender to God, laying down your cross and saying, "Lord, have your way in me," that in and of itself is your worship. We don't just worship here with singing songs, lifting our hands, and dancing for the Lord. I want you to know that your daily life is your worship. What you do on a daily basis is your worship. If that is serving your family is your worship. For me, I'm a nurse. Taking care of patients and taking care of the sick is my worship. And it really is sacrifice. Being sold out to Jesus and saying, "God, have your way in my life. Use me." Like it says in Isaiah, "Here I am, Lord, use me." And I want you guys to really, truly just allow God to just fill and be with you in every area of your life. Invite him. You know, your workplace, it's not just a place where you make money. It's not a place where you just provide for your family. It is a place for you to share the love of God. It is a place where you can show God's love. Maybe not through words always, by slapping a Bible in someone's face, but through your actions, through how you love others. That in and of itself is your worship. And complete surrender allows the Holy Spirit to change you from the inside out. Because really, first, it starts on the inside. Being sanctified is not just behavioral modification. You're not just trying to stop an action. That you're missing the point if that's what you think sanctification is. Because truly being sanctified is knowing God. It's knowing God's heart. It's knowing who Jesus is in your life. And who is God to you? Who is Jesus to you? And each and every single one of us, we're going to have our own meaning. To me, Jesus is my redeemer. Jesus is my healer. Jesus is the one who set me free. That's who I believe Jesus is. But who is Jesus in your life? You need to ask yourselves that. And in Deuteronomy, it tells us to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. And if you truly want the Holy Spirit to change you, if you choose to surrender to Him, first, it starts with your beliefs. It starts in your soul. And so when I was saying, who does Jesus mean to you? It means, what do you believe Jesus can do in that area of your life where you need freedom? What is your belief right now that Jesus can do? Because when I was going through it, I didn't know if Jesus could. Honestly. I let myself believe that I could never be free. I let myself believe that I can never be saved from it. And so first it starts with allowing Jesus, allowing the Holy Spirit to change your belief in your soul, in your spirit. And then next, you have to allow the Holy Spirit to change your thoughts. Because first, we are spiritual beings. Our spirit is what makes us who we are because of Jesus. But once you do that, and you need to allow the Holy Spirit to change the way you think. Because we're talking about inside out. First with the heart, now with the mind. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to change your thoughts. You need to allow Him to really transform you. Like it says here, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And so part of that transformation is really just after you allow God to change your beliefs, get to know His Word. Because truly it's by knowing God's Word, knowing the truth, because we believe that the Bible is truth, that once, the more and more that you read God's Word, the more and more you allow the Holy Spirit to just work in you through God's Word. It's then when He changes the way that you think, the things that you believe in your heart, that He can change the way that you think. And it's after He changes the way that you think, then when He changes the way you are on the inside, that's when you experience it on the outside. When you experience a change in your actions, when you experience a change in your habits. And so first, like I said, it's with your soul, with your heart. Change starts with your soul, then your mind, and then your body, which is your actions. And I love what it says here on the last part. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And so the more and more that you walk in sanctification, the more and more that you live like Jesus, become more like Jesus, that's when you'll be able to understand what God's will is for your life. And I feel like that's a question that all of us ask as adults. God, what is your will for my life? What's your plan for me? What is your purpose for me in my life? And really, the only way that you're going to know that is through surrender. It's by denying yourself. It's by saying, God, I don't want to live my own way. God, not my will, but yours be done. That should be a daily prayer. If you're constantly asking yourself that, that should be your prayer every day. Not my will, God, but your will be done. And not even just in your own life, but for your family's life. Declare that over your family. God, not my will, but your will be done. You might be asking yourself, God, I don't know what to do with my kids anymore. Yeah, and let's be real. Sometimes kids might be doing something, some crazy stuff. And really, you just got to leave it up to God. Because there's only so much that we can do as humans. And obviously, I'm not a parent, but I'm just speaking on behalf of parents that, you know, that parents can... parents can only do as much as they can, but just allow God. Surrender your will to God. Surrender your kids to God. Because really, this world is becoming a more and more dangerous place. I'm not even talking about physically. I'm talking spiritually here. The enemy is out here trying to get your kids. And because of that, there's so much that kids are struggling with now. And the worst part is they don't even know it. And so I truly believe, and this is not in my notes at all, and I really believe this is the Holy Spirit speaking, and it's a word for someone here. But we need to be praying more for our kids. It's not even just stopping them from doing something. There is a true enemy that's really out here trying to take the hearts of children. And I really truly believe that it starts in the home. What you do at home will have a true effect of how your kids will act. Because the enemy is really trying to break families. Kids are so broken nowadays because they don't have true family. And I truly believe that a lot of what kids go through nowadays is because they feel like home really isn't home. And I don't want that to be our family. I don't want that to be your families. And so I really just encourage you to really be in tune with the Holy Spirit. I really encourage you, parents, to really be on guard and to just be aware of what the Holy Spirit is trying to do and move, even in your kids. And let's keep going. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. It says this: So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. And so when it comes to walking in sanctification, the enemy wants you to feel ashamed of where you're at. He wants you to feel bad for where you're at in your life. And you know, it's true. Sometimes we're going to say to ourselves, man, I wish that I don't want to be stuck here where I'm at anymore. I want to be free already. I wish I was here. I wish I was doing that. And we always wish that we were somewhere else. Which is fine, that's okay, but a lot of the times that can turn into shaming yourself and speaking things over yourself that isn't true, that isn't from God. but we are covered in grace. Sanctification truly is something that is only possible by grace. It's only by God's grace that we can, even though we sin, even though we make mistakes, even though we mess up sometimes, it is only possible because of grace. And God continuously forgiving us. But we shouldn't abuse it. We shouldn't abuse that grace. Even though God will forgive you every single time you ask Him to, we shouldn't abuse it. We shouldn't abuse God's love for us. And a lot of the times when we are going, we're going through difficult parts of life, we tend to compare ourselves to other people. We say, man, I wish, why can't I be like Pastor Adon? It seems like she had everything good going for her. She seems like she doesn't struggle with anything. Why can't I be like Pastor Jaron? Pastor Jaron, he's like the perfect guy. But you know what? The truth is, we all have our own journey. Everyone is on their own walk in sanctification. And so don't compare yourself. Don't allow the devil to lie to you and say that you're not as good as this person. You're not as good as that person. It really is each person's journey. And just walk in your journey. The whole walk of sanctification truly is, it's like walking hand in hand with the Holy Spirit. It's a lifelong process that, even though it will be hard, even though there's going to be pain, even though there's going to be times where you struggle, it should be something that we enjoy. Because truly, sanctification is, it's living out your relationship with God. And it's something that we should enjoy. It's something that we should just love to do every day. It's just walking with God. And further down in Romans 8, in verse 11, it says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. And one thing that I want to say, even though we're human, we're imperfect, we're bound to sin at some point, the more and more, especially for me and what I've gone through in my life, is I learned that, yes, I am a sinner and I am imperfect, but I don't have to sin. Because sinning, really, it's a choice. You can choose to not sin, or you can choose to sin. But it says here, the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. So you have that same Holy Spirit power that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead. And that is pretty crazy if you ask me. That same Holy Spirit power is within you to say no to sin. So really, there are no excuses. There really is no excuse to sin. And the more that you become like Christ, the less you should sin. Because that's truly what sanctification is. And yeah, there really is no excuse to sin. If you truly are living out sanctification, you truly are trying to be more and more like Jesus, you don't have to sin. There really is no excuse. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 and 25, it says this. You've all been to the stadium and seen the athletes race. Everyone runs, one wins. Run to win. All good athletes train hard. They do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. You're after one that's gold eternally. And so our walk with Jesus, our walk in sanctification, it's like a marathon. Like I said, it's a lifelong journey. But we need to have an athlete's mindset when we approach this. And truly, it's walking in repentance every day. And walking in repentance is a daily decision. And it takes true discipline to say no to sin. And truly to walk in repentance is to hate sin. You need to understand God's heart about sin. I feel like we take sin so lightly when we mess up and do wrong things. You know how much that hurts God? It truly does hurt him, no matter how little or how little the action is or how big the action is. It truly hurts God's heart. He hates sin. His intention from the very beginning was to never have sin in the world. That's how much he hates it. And for me, when I was going through what I was going through, I had to get to the point to where I hated my sin so much that even the thought of it would disgust me. And really, it should be the same way for you too. Because that is God's heart about sin. He hates it so much that it disgusts him. And achieving true freedom requires us to have that mindset. It requires you to really, truly hate the sin as much as God does. And it says here, when we're going through our sanctification, that we need to have an eternal mindset. Because that's what you're after. You're after being truly sanctified, reaching perfection. And we're never going to reach that perfection here on earth. We're going to reach that perfection, be fully, fully sanctified once we were with Jesus in heaven. And so having that eternal mindset is continually just looking forward to what's ahead. It's knowing where you're going. Because as Christians, as believers, we know where we're going. We're going to be with Jesus one day in heaven, living with him forever. And we're going to reach that perfection one day. But we have to continue to be disciplined here right now. We need to continue to walk in self-denial. We need to continue to walk in surrender every single day. Because like we said, it's like a marathon. If you don't train for the race, you're going to gas out on mile one. And so every single day, sanctification is like training for a race. We need to be disciplined. You need to be in your word. You need to be praying. You need to be worshiping every single day. We need to train like athletes. That's essentially what sanctification really is. It's just one long marathon. It really is just one long race that we need to continue to fight for. Our lives, it's a fight. Because your fight is not against flesh and blood. Your fight is spiritual. We have an enemy that's really trying to steal, kill, and destroy your life and your family's life. And so we need to be disciplined. We need to think like athletes. We need to train hard. We need to work our spirit's heart so that we can reach the reward. We can reach, like it says here, you're after one that's gold eternally. Let's continue to push for that spiritual gold, that street of heaven. Let's continue to push towards it, even though it's hard. Let's keep going in 1 Corinthians, same chapter. It says, I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. I'm giving it everything I've got. No lazy living for me. I'm staying alert and in top condition. I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everyone else all about it, and then missing myself out. And I'm telling you right now, don't get caught lacking. Don't get caught lacking by the enemy, because he's going to get you. The enemy is going to come get you if you're lacking. That means don't get caught off guard. That's Gen Z slang. But yeah, don't let the enemy catch you napping. Don't let the enemy catch you off guard. We need to be alert. We need to be on guard. And I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. And truly, sanctification requires us to be alert. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says to stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering that you are. So stay alert. Stand firm. Be strong in your faith. And truly, that's what it is. Being sanctified means to... Living out sanctification truly means to be alert and to live for God. And the thing that I want to close with, it's this, if we could put it up. Sanctification truly is, it's not about perfection, but direction. And Pastor Adon, I believe they said this was said in a Bible study, and Pastor Adon mentioned it in one of our meetings, and I loved it. Because sanctification is all about where you're going. Because the more that you become like Christ, the higher that you go, the more freedom that you'll achieve, the more boldness that you will have, the more authority that you will have over the struggles in your life, the more authority that you will have over the enemy. But it truly starts with what you believe in your heart. And if... I'm just going to ask everyone to stand to their feet as we close and we read this last passage. It says here in Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24. It says this, God, I invite your searching gaze into my heart. Examine me through and through. Find out everything that may be hidden within me. Put me to the test and sift through all my anxious cares. See if there's any path of pain I'm walking on, and lead me back to your glorious everlasting way, the path that brings me to you. And so sanctification is a process that'll be painful. I'm not gonna lie. It's gonna be painful. It's gonna be hard. You're gonna have your ups and your downs, but it's worth it. It's worth walking with Jesus. It's worth making that choice to surrender. It's worth making that choice to deny yourself and say, God, I don't want to live my way anymore, but I want to live your way.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Visit us in person or online at hwcim.org.